Welcome to the Search Stories UK FAQ podcast on VMware Site Recovery Manager and Disaster Recovery. I'm Anthony Adshead, Bureau Chief with Search Stories UK. Today's speaker is Michael Averitt, who is an author, blogger, podcaster and public speaker, and who has recently had published a book on administering VMware's Site Recovery Manager version 5, which is on VMware Press. The first question today is, how can VMware Site Recovery Manager help with disaster recovery? Over to you, Mike.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I guess one of the early promises of virtualization was to reduce the number of servers you would need at the DR location to actually carry out virtualization. And I think it's fair to say that VMware Site Recovery Manager has actually delivered on that promise. The way it works is that it integrates with whoever your storage vendor is, whether that be EMC, Dell or NetApp, to control the failing over and failing back of the volumes that actually contain your virtual machines. Major features include things like non-disruptive testing, so you can actually do tests of your recovery plan during production hours, where previously you would have to carve out a maintenance window essentially to do this sort of work. And introduced in version 5 is a failback process that makes it very easy to move VMs from the production location to the recovery site and back again. SRM has always supported a scripting feature. So alongside the basics of the recovery plan, which controls which VMs come up, what order they come up, how long they wait before the next virtual machine starts, you can include things like VBS and PowerShell scripting inside the recovery plan for anything that is particularly specific to your environment. I think it's also worth saying that Site Recovery Manager isn't just about DR. Increasingly, customers are using it to move VMs from one data center to another, using the SRM tool as a kind of orchestration tool. And going on to look at the future, I can imagine that SRM might actually lose its recovery element and become more of a kind of site management tool, facilitating the move of large numbers of VMs to a public cloud vendor, or even going forward to the future, being able to outsource your DR requirements to a cloud provider. So when you do your actually recovery, you're actually recovering VMs not to another site on your own network, but to an external provider.
Thanks, Mike. The next question is, what new capabilities does SRM have since the introduction of VMware vSphere 5? Over to you again.
Well, perhaps the biggest change which kind of affects storage people is VMware have actually introduced replication into their vSphere platform. So customers who adopt SRM have now the choice of either using array-based replication from EMC, Dell and NetApp and others, or instead actually use replication that's sitting within the kind of virtualization layer. It's an interesting move by VMware because it allows for a little bit more granularity than we've previously enjoyed. So previously when we did replication, it was the entirety of a volume of LUN that contained VMs. And the problem with that is you might fail not on the data store or the LUN or volume. And so it's a little bit more granular in that particular respect because it's just the VM that you're protecting rather than all the VMs within a particular LUN. Other advantages include that it's storage vendor neutral. So you may have two sites that you want to replicate between each other. Historically, that might have been a little bit tricky because they may not even be using the same vendor storage at both sites. And even if they are, they may not be actually using the same firmware. And that could introduce further complexities, if you like, into actually getting SRM rolled out. So vSphere replication only sees the data store. It doesn't care whether it's NFS, SCSI, Fibre Channel, whether that's EMC or Dell that are providing that LUN. And it might make it easier for different business units within the organization to replicate each other as well. And looking back to the earlier statement I made about the cloud, it's going to be tricky to try and do replication from a private business to a public vendor and guarantee that they're going to have the same storage or have the same firmware. And if we can agree to use a kind of replication which is agnostic when it comes to the storage vendor, then that might make it easier to actually get a third party working with your virtual infrastructure than is currently possible. Last thing I would say about vSphere replication is it does have a sneakernet method of getting the virtual disks that make up a virtual machine to the DR location. You can take the virtual disks that make up a virtual machine and put that on removable storage, ship that to the DR location, and then when vSphere replication is triggered, all it has to do is do the deltas since that last copy. So there are some advanced features in there that you would not normally have with conventional storage vendors because VMware gives you access to the virtual disk.
Thanks, Mike. That's excellent. And that's the end of the podcast.